grateful state, that's a happy life.
You're listening to the Dare to Be Different podcast, a podcast for people who want to live an extraordinary life. On this week's episode, Joe talks with Ed Callaher about bringing your personal values into your business in the power of gratitude and service. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Dare to Be Different podcast. My name's Joe Altieri, and my special guest today is Ed Callaher. Correct? Did I nail it?
Very nice.
Got it?
Yeah, nice. Almost. You could throw a little Irish flair in there, but...
Yeah. My Italian heritage just...
Prevents you.
It does.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you'll never get the pot of gold, so...
I guess not.
It's your loss, bro.
Well, thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate you coming in. And as a disclaimer, you and I are both window guys, right? So you've been in the window industry for a long time.
Yeah.
But we're not going to kind of geek out on window stuff here today.
Oh, damn.
I know. I think that most of our listeners would be bored out of their minds, you know, if we start talking about, you know, our values and low E and all that stuff.
You're depressing me about my career, Joe. Thank you. Thanks, buddy.
I sell window screens. So think about that for a minute.
They're sexy, flexible, indestructible window screens.
They are. So, and we will be using that soundbite for sure.
Do it. Yeah.
But
royalty checks.
The reason that I thought it would be great for us to talk, I'm a big fan of your blog, Midlife Analysis, right?
Yes.
And, you know, I get the emails about once a week, and you and I had a chance to talk about where that came from. But do you mind letting the listeners know?
Yeah. Humbled and appreciate that you even read it, let alone enjoy it. So
I enjoy it. I even send you feedback every once in a while.
You do, which
I'm probably the only person. But.
Well, and you're a content producer, so you know that that little feedback, you know, fuels your need for affirmation and like turbocharges your day. Like one person's like, oh, that really, let alone if they say like that touched me or that helped me, but even like, hey, that was, you know, creative or something, that really turbocharges you. So like the name probably gives away, Midlife Analysis, it basically kind of just started with some life events that made me reflective, of course, and pondering all those existential questions about myself. That's probably nice for audio. So sequence of events, and really my reflections turn towards, you know, you got to go one way or the other when you're in kind of those life moments.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind started to drift towards, you know, gratitude and how do I turn this into a positive? And then again, same reflections of, all right, where am I at in my life? What am I doing? All the things that you hear and people will typically term midlife crisis. But the more I got into it, you know, started to see some patterns in myself and how can I make myself the best version of, you know, that I can be. And then I really started to key in on, routines, right? Rituals and mm-hmm. routines and all the things that you and I have probably listened to thousands of hours on. How it started is just a simple morning writing exercise. I enjoy writing, always have. But I felt that if I did something in the morning that was ritualistic, that would set the tone for the day,
right.
and that type of thing. So it started with a group of about 20 friends, and I just said, look, would you mind if I wrote to you every morning, and you will be my accountability group, essentially, right? So by doing that, you know, it was something where I knew that if I didn't get up on time in the morning and do the exercise, then I'd have a couple buddies, you know, giving me shit for it.
Poking you a little bit, going, hey,
yeah,
what happened?
That accountability was enough right there. But really what it turned into pretty quickly, right, was that exercise became kind of cathartic and mm-hmm. all the topics became what I was thinking about and the topics became what I aspired to learn more about, et cetera. So that list grew to about 50 people I started January 1 in 2017.
Oh, wow. So it's been a while.
And I went the full year, and I sent out probably 250 articles. So, you know, obviously missed some days. But through the course of that, again, just became topics that I wanted to talk about, think about, ponder for me, for my children. And then you start to get those little nuggets of feedback and where people want to take it. And again, that's like, you know, rocket fuel when you're reflective and mm-hmm. trying to be, you know, somewhat creative, philosophical, you name it. And one of the coolest things was to see who on the list would respond to what type of message. So
that's a great lesson for content creators in general. It, you know, what does your audience look like, and what sort of feedback are you getting from from the different topics and different even the ways that you present? Because you do, I've gone back, man, not all the way back to 2017, but you really span. You have a lot of different writing styles that you that you use.
Yeah,
and it's again, some of them I'm like, you know, poetry is not my thing. You know what I mean? But the most recent one that you did about where to go to the bathroom when you're traveling, you know, should you do it at a Super 8 or what's the, you know, and the way that you use that to talk about marketing. You know, again, what I took out of it was, some marketing.
Well, we all have our own assumptions, right? And they're usually not right.
Right.
So when you put something out there and somebody will comment back, or that particular person does, you're like, oh, they responded to this. I would have never, you know, thought that about that person, or they would respond to this message or the other thing. But the different content types and the different writing styles, that I think that speaks to lessons that I've learned doing this as well, which is when you're reflective, and again, it's kind of cliche, right? Which is why I wanted to rephrase that or rebrand that. It doesn't need to be a crisis, right? I was analyzing who I was and where I wanted to be and where I wanted to go, and the example I wanted to set for my children, et cetera, et cetera. But something that I learned along the way is, I'm questioning, where am I at in my career? Where am I at with my physical health? You know, my relationships, all that. And that can tend to take on a negative kind of, you know, lens, right? You're looking at it, of the things maybe you didn't, you know, accomplish yet or what have you. But I was like, no, screw that, man. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, okay, I can count, you know, 4 or 5 decent business failures, you know,
big things I did wrong, sort of thing.
But then I'm like, man, I know a lot of shit. Like, seriously, I know a lot of stuff. Like, I've been in an enterprise from day one, zero to, you know, tens of millions of dollars in revenue back to zero. I've stayed up at night not meeting 100-person payroll. You know, I've had a failed technology business that I start. Like, I know, wait a minute, I know there's some value here.
Sure.
You know, I can put that out there. So starting to think about, you know, turning it into a positive and saying, no, this is more opportunity. So what I'm getting at is, you know, I don't feel, you know, all the messages probably turn into kind of maybe a small business philosophy / life philosophy on gratitude and, you know, and moving forward and serving, et cetera. But I feel like there's a lot to talk about because I'm 46 years old and, you know, seen a lot.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm 44, going to be 45 here soon. And midlife is an interesting phase. I had somebody ask me the other day, what was your favorite time to be alive? It was just a really general question. You know, the 20s.
Tough one, though.
Yeah. Your 20s are fun. You know what I mean? That your 30s, things are starting to get, you know, kind of figured out. But I have to tell you, 40s is a blast. That's just my opinion. You're starting to get some financial security. You have tons of life lessons. You know, you've paid the price for those lessons already. What about you? I mean, is your 40s, is this like where you're kind of hitting your stride?
I had more financial security in my 30s. So through some of those aforementioned failures, I've kind of started over a bit. I would tell you when my 40s started, I wouldn't have said, this is the decade, right? But again, that led to kind of reflection and renewal and ritual and those things. Now, what I would tell you is 100%. I've never felt so empowered to accomplish all those things that I thought I wanted to accomplish, but had no clue, you know, what I was even talking about. There's not one conversation that I'm afraid to have with anybody on the face of this earth. You know, I feel like I've paid my dues,
right?
You know, whether just from personal experience, business world, what have you. So I'm feeling pretty good about 46, but I'm pretty charged up, you know, to see what I can do before that big 5-0.
So one of the things that we talk about on the podcast, on this podcast a lot, is that life is the journey, that the end result isn't necessarily, you know, whatever that goal is at the end isn't necessarily the ultimate. It's how you get there. And so, you know,
but that's the backward part of life, right?
Yeah.
And we don't get that until we're at a certain age. Why? Is it because that's just how life works and how our brains work and how we're wired, you know, to need certain things when we're young versus when we're old? Is it our physiology? Is it the fact that our educational systems don't talk about that because it's more about regurgitating numbers than it is about preparing for life and having perspective and having gratitude and understanding the journey? I don't know, but it's bullshit, right?
No, you're right.
I mean, I try to talk to my kids, you know, my sons about that. And of course, you're not going to get it when you're, you know, 11 and 9. But I do know that if I'm just chirping that in the background, that foundation, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this day is an opportunity, guys. You know, hey, what's today going to be? Oh, I know, Dad, it's going to be a great day. But cool, if you're rolling your eyes at me, like it's starting to sink in a little bit.
Right.
So if we talk about the fact that, yes, it is more about the journey, not about necessarily the goal or the acquisition, what have you. And if you focus short-term gratitude, you're going to get long-term reward. But it should be talked about more so you don't have to get to a midlife analysis, let alone a crisis, hopefully not. To get that.
So gratitude came up a lot, and that's one of the core values that we have, you know, we have here with my staff and then also my family. Our podcast started as the words of the year. So we didn't do New Year's resolutions. We did, what is your word of the year?
Mm-hmm.
And so
your family, right?
My family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those we picked the five that we thought were, man, this really defines our family, and gratitude is one of them. And then we brought those values into our company and said, these work for a family, but they also work for a company. And gratitude is top of the list, you know, both from, you know, the giving back side, but then just also the, man, we get to do this. Like this is amazing that we get mm-hmm. to be part of this, that we, you know, we have this opportunity to you know, out of nowhere, you know, say, hey, let's do a podcast again. You know, just those types of things. I mean, what does gratitude look like for you? Like, what is that? Again, it's almost that you don't know, you know what it is when you see it sort of thing, or when you're, you know, but what does that look like?
Yeah,
for you personally.
I mean, I think, you know, gratitude, unfortunately, has become a cliche. People mm-hmm. say the word and they think of unicorns and rainbows.
Sure.
And it's a warm and fuzzy thing, which I think is, again, a damn shame, right? To me, when I really started to key in on that word and the books and the, you know, the videos and the you name it, it's just, it's because of that premise where you can't, you know, simultaneously be grateful and appreciative and hold anger, resentment, or fear, et cetera, right? So I think the ultimate equation is simply that, you know, gratitude is what leads to happiness. If not, that's what happiness actually is, right? Because we're chasing happiness and you never get there. It goes back to the journey type of thing. But gratitude it begets happiness, certainly. And I think we all want to be happy, me included. But then pushing it further, how do you get grateful? I think you serve. So I think that's probably the greatest equation that I want to teach my sons is when you serve others, that evokes gratitude in yourself. And when you're in a grateful state, that's a happy life.
Right.
I think, again, it's a shame that it's been kind of relegated to somewhat of a cliche, somewhat looked at as, oh, yeah, that's fluffy, you know, be grateful. Especially in business, you said you brought it into your business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know firsthand that's really hard to do.
It is.
You've got to have, you know, so many of the people we deal with, you know, small business owners, and I'm not talking about, you know, small business according to the government, right? I'm talking $100, $200, $500 million businesses. I'm talking about the people that we deal with every day, the companies of 1 to 10 people that are doing $100,000 to $5 million, like that's a micro business, right?
In
the grand scheme.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in those businesses and you're trying to build them, you're running around, you're solving problems, you're wearing many, many hats. So just to have the time, most small business operators or leaders, they don't have the time to work on their business. They're always in the business, let alone on the business, on the culture of the business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instilling gratitude in your small business, super tough, but could argue, you know, nothing can be more rewarding or important to the bottom line of the business even, right?
It's, yeah, absolutely. You know, even with us, you know, dealing with customers, because we have, you know, we sell to window manufacturers, but we also sell to homeowners. And, you know, being grateful for every single customer,
mm-hmm.
you know, that switch in somebody's mind in a customer service person where you're like, okay, this is not a problem. You know, this is a customer that we should be really thankful for. And we want to mm-hmm. help them solve whatever the issue is that they have.
Yep.
it really changes. Because a lot of companies, especially to your point, small companies, the customers become a pain in the butt a lot of times. And then all of a sudden that filters down into their staff, and then gratitude goes out the window.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. I think there's, again, really hard to do, right? It almost goes back to when my kids are rolling their eyes at me. You almost just have to make it such a part of the daily conversation in the business that people are like, oh yeah, I know, we're supposed to be grateful. But even if they get to that point, at least it's embedded in right. there, because it's super hard, you know, even with customers, let alone family, like familiarity breeds contempt type mm-hmm. of thing. I think that happens with customers a lot.
Sure.
So it gets harder and harder to be grateful for that customer when they're breathing down your neck or right. something's going wrong. But I think another word that we have to key on in order to elicit that gratitude too is empathy. I think empathy mm-hmm. is a small business superpower, which is the title of the book I'm finishing up, and I hope I can come share it with you when I'm done.
Awesome, you're writing a book. That's fantastic.
I'm writing five. That's the problem. I can't write, and I can't. I got to focus and get these things done. But I have adapted the writing style to more a blog oriented thing to cater to a short attention span. But that's another story. I think you know, family, business, whatever. You know, empathy can go such a long way. If you get a little glimpse of what that yelling customer is yelling about and, mm-hmm. and what's driving them and what their situation is, it's a lot easier to be grateful for, you know, their business.
Right. So how do you find the time? So you know, you're a business leader, you have a family, you blog, you do, you know, you're imparting culture into your company. How do you manage your time? Like what is... again, kind of a little off topic, but I'm just mm-hmm. blown away that you're in the middle of writing five
no,
books.
Don't be. I manage it poorly. That's the problem.
Okay.
Really, the you know, you've got your kind of normal business hours, and I try to, you know, put as much as I can into growing that enterprise, because ultimately that'll be, you know, the vehicle that I can do other things, mm-hmm. other pursuits, and provide for my family and talk about gratitude and show them places in the world that doesn't have, you know, what we have, et cetera. But all I can do, I think, like any of us, is steal those moments of time. You know, I'll get up in the morning and say I've got an hour to write. Sometimes I'll say it in the evening, can I do that? But it doesn't work really well. But again, that's why I think if I would perhaps focus and narrow the interest down a little bit, I would have one of those done. But I've got, you know, 4.5 working kind of manuscripts with chapters that are, you know, floating around. I've got to pull it together. So I don't really, I'm getting there, I think. I'm getting better at it, but I still don't live the regimen that would allow me to do the things that I desperately want to do. So, but then again, you could say, well, if you desperately want to do them, what the hell are you doing? Then
right.
then burn the boats, dude, right?
Yeah.
Then stick to your rituals and routines. And I, you know, I'll be the first to admit, it's a process. I'm trying to get better.
Yeah, that's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Jocko makes it look so easy, man, right? To just be a machine. Like I'm up at 4:30. Yeah. Literally, what's today? Thursday or Wednesday?
Wednesday? Today's Wednesday.
So the last 2 days, Sunday and Monday, set the alarm for 4:45 and didn't work.
Didn't work.
No. 6:15 was the yeah, but I'm like, you have to start and go through that pain, but make it a ritual, and then give yourself 2 extra hours, you know, in the morning, and I think I'll get these books done.
Yeah, that again, that's a tough thing to. I'm an early riser, so I'm up at 5 anyway, but I don't, you know, unfortunately, just because of I'm in the middle of growing a small business, and you know that. 5 a.m. till we'll call it 7 or 7:30 when most of the world is not doing anything is mm-hmm. usually when I am being reactive, unfortunately, which is...
Oh, that's tough.
It is. It's mm-hmm. tough, you know, because during the day, again, having you see my staff, they're young people. So a lot of times it's Nicholas is over there smiling, mm-hmm. but you know, there's a lot of training, a lot of feedback, a lot of culture building, all that stuff that happens here. And so my work sometimes gets pushed off till the hours that they're not working.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you have the same thing. I mean, you're growing your business as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have some challenges.
No doubt. We've got a good team right now. You know, our business is basically 6 people. It's a good size, but we have a nice scalable model. So I'm excited about it. And I've tried to, try to hire, you know, try to get better at hiring people as well. You know, you mentioned the young people. I'm curious, have you noticed now that when you go into any room, almost any room, I find that I'm basically halfway in the age bracket, maybe pushing towards the older side now, but you know, there's more and more and more people in that room that are significantly younger than you.
About a year ago, I went to, you know, one of the top three window manufacturers, and just, you know, I was they asked me in to come in for a meeting. We sat there and I was blown away because the average age in the room was probably 30 years old, and I jacked that average age way up. You know, they had some people in their 20s that are making decisions for, you know, a $1 billion company.
Right.
And I think that our industry, and in a lot of industries, are completely ignorant to the amazing potential that young people have. You know, people that are in their 20s, you know, I'm not sure that I would have trusted myself in my 20s, but they have skills and they have just potential that I don't have.
Yeah.
And it's and they're cheap too, which is great. Right, Nicholas? But no, I mean, they have their own challenges, of course, because you do have to, that they get managed different than if somebody who's in their 40s or 50s. But yeah, our industry's starting to age out a little bit. You know, the people that are in their 50s and 60s are starting to retire, and the young people are definitely coming in. So
that's probably every industry. But what I like about those scenarios is, again, kind of realizing and saying, no, this isn't a, you know, midlife crisis. This is a midlife analysis. And I tell you what, midlife's a pretty good time, because I've got 25 years under my belt, right? I'm in that room. You're in that room with that $1 billion company, you know, half the room, if not more. You've got much more life experience than them, probably much more business experience. You know, you've got failures under your belt. You've got relationships, et cetera, et cetera. You've got something to say. You've got value to give to those people. And I, you know, that's empowering to me. That's where, you know, again, not that I would ever be shy about a conversation necessarily, but sometimes when you say, look, I've got some value, I'd like to give it to this person, you might be, you know, a bit hesitant, right? Do they really, you know, are they going to respect what I'm saying? Is there really value there? Maybe they've heard this before. Most times, you know what? A lot of people have not, you know, these things, just, again, thinking about the journey, thinking about, you know, how to have a grateful attitude, how to have empathy in your business dealings, et cetera. I'll bet you that would be a pretty popular topic in that conference room you just came from.
Yeah. And it's, you know, even doing the podcast, you doing the blogs, you know, I have no intention, you and I have talked about this, no intention of trying to monetize this in any way. You know, it's, you know, we're doing it for, you know, because again, I think that there's something in my life, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, that somebody wants to hear and somebody will get something from. And I'm sure your blog's exactly the same way. But I there's very little that I want to hear from a 20-year-old that's telling me about all of their life experience. there's a trend on social media, you know, with the wantrepreneurs, you know, they want to be entrepreneurs and they're showing off their Lamborghini that they rented and saying, hey, look, you know, you can do this too, but they've actually never done anything.
That's the business model.
Sure. I mean,
that's what they're doing, right? They're going to teach you how to be successful. And
having never done it.
Yeah, but boy, God bless them.
You know,
must be working, I suppose. But
yeah, I mean, it's...
No, but I think creating the content and giving back, and this is one of those lessons, right? Try to teach your children, but it takes so long to understand. And I haven't even got there yet, but I see the seeds of it. I see the seeds of, in my 30s, working for 10 years to grow a business that ultimately failed, and trying to grow that in order to, you know, at some point be able to cash out or what have you. I can see now, the more that I focus just on the give, the more that I can focus on contributing value to people and trying to have, whether it be the blog or in my company, the best part about my job is we support, you know, 55 or 60 dealers across the country, and they're all startup small business operators, right? Some of them are brand new and some of them are in business 5, 6, 7 years, what have you. But the best part about that job is I have a lot of value that I can give them to help them grow that business,
right,
to help them anticipate problems and get over those, to help them, you know, find their real path, let alone, you know, give them some tools to make more money for their family, et cetera. That's a super gratifying. And the more I focus on that part of it, then the assets of the business are growing, you know, the income will grow. And it, I mean, it sounds a bit cliche. You always hear it from people like they already have a bunch of money and they're like, oh, when I stopped focusing on the money, all the money came. I mean, not that simple, I suppose, but I do think there, I see seeds of that, you know, already in a little bit of a mindset change over the last few years. I hope, at least.
Well, and I have a feeling that, you know, if you weren't sincere in that giving back, if you were simply, you know, those were talking points for you,
mm-hmm.
your dealers, you know, they would see through that. It doesn't take too long to
I think so too. I think I hope and believe that. I'll every time we talk to a potential new partnership, you know, I'll tell them, look, if there's ever a time where, you know, we don't do what we say we're going to do, or you find this message to be not sincere or genuine, just turn around and walk away, you know. And I take a lot of pride in the fact that I've got customers and partners and dealers since, you know, 2010, let's say, and, you know, they've heard me repeat the same mantras over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can have all the empathy you want and you can be grateful, but if that stuff's insincere, you know, life will see right through that.
Right. So we're almost out of time, but I wanted to give, you know, some of the listeners, you know, like, what is that golden nugget? Like, how would you, what's the one thing that anybody that's listening that you would say, hey, here's something you can actually do tomorrow, you can do today, whether that's for, you know, gratitude or self, you know, reflection, whatever you just think might be.
Personal or business?
Sure.
Yeah, because work-life balance doesn't apply to most people. I think it's a made-up term, right?
We talked about that a couple of weeks ago with someone else. But like, it's especially for a small business owner or a business owner, it's there's no such thing.
Mm-hmm. I think I would tell someone that asked that super ambiguous question. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, no problem. Put you on the spot there.
I would tell them two things, and I had this conversation come up. Visiting one of my partners in Iowa not too long ago, and I would tell them two things. One is more practical, I suppose, and that is simply get in the conversations. Don't be afraid of asking the questions, striking up conversations with people that you know. We walk around and we hero worship too much, or we look at somebody and we say like, "Ah, well, they don't want to talk to me. I'm not there yet," or what have you.
Right.
Get in the damn conversation. Right. Start it. You know, for a long time, I was a person that I wouldn't want to have the conversation unless I researched it, unless I came up with the counter arguments. Like, I never wanted to be called, you know, like, how do you know this? Like, get in the conversation,
right?
Get it started, get in there. You're more than capable of, you know, having those debates, conversations, what have you. And the other thing is, again, unfortunately, sounds cliche, but it's just serve, man. Serve. Every time you rotate your life or your business to saying, how can I serve this person? Everything good happens, nothing bad happens.
That's really good.
You set up your business and say, you know, yeah, I want to come up with creative and fun marketing, and I want to have good processes internally, et cetera. Precursor should be, how do I serve that person? You know, what's most, because that forces you to engage empathy. Okay, it's too much. We want to tell, right? We want to sell. I want to say, look at my pretty window. You know, you're gonna like right. this thing, and it's got wonderful energy efficiency. And I don't want to poo-poo my life's work, but you know, how often have you seen, like, nobody goes to the extra depth and peel the onion away and say, all right, what is really most important to that customer, right? How can I improve their lives with something as kind of mundane and infrequent as a window installation? But if you start to get in that mindset, and how can I really serve these people? And you mean it,
right?
You're authentic with it. I just think everything good happens for your business and your life.
Well, that's awesome. So how can people find out more about your blog and your upcoming books and all that stuff?
Yeah, no, it's just midlifeanalysis.com. Simple as that. Of course, we're.
I can't believe you got that Twitter URL. That's
right.
That's an awesome.
That's always such a significant moment in the idea stream, isn't it?
Like, oh yeah.
You roll over and you have an idea, and you're like, "Wait a minute, let me check." No way. All right. I've got a couple other URLs that I'm sitting on that I was like, "Oh, this is such gold." And who knows? I mean,
right.
Maybe it's just gold in my mind. But yeah, it's fun when it's not taken. But midlifeanalysis.com, and I think, you know, there the message of, you know, it doesn't have to be a crisis, right? That's such a negative word. Instead, let's just reflect
sure.
on life experience, whether it's coming from a position of a negative life experience, perhaps, which often kind of funnels people into that reflective mode, or just natural existential wondering about where you're going and what you're doing. You know, that's the goal, and it's still cathartic for me to
sure.
put out there. So if somebody wants to stop by there, it's super humbling, makes you grateful, and I love doing it.
Yeah, and I definitely suggest anybody that's listening, check it out. If you like what you're reading, subscribe to the emails and the blogs, and also give some feedback. To your point, man, does it make your day when somebody you know, sends
I don't know if that's a positive or a negative necessarily, right? Depending on who you would ask, you know, I look at it and say, what's important to me, right? Everybody has their needs, and damned if affirmation isn't one of them. You know, maybe because I'm an only child, and you can get into all kinds of, you know, psychoanalysis of that. But oh, it's rocket fuel, man. Especially you get one back that you really. Oh, how about this one? You get some feedback that was meaningful to somebody, kind of touched them, etc. And it's a complete stranger.
Right.
That's rocket fuel.
Yeah,
man.
It's one thing for your mom to come and be like, "Good job, Ed."
Right.
You know, or "Good job, Joe." It's something else when it's somebody completely. It was interesting because my wife and I she co-hosts with me a lot, and we had friends that we haven't seen in years and years and years reached out to her saying, you know, "Hey, I just listened to a podcast from two of my favorite people, and we got something out of it." And so again, that's great. But the people that you have no idea it's humbling.
It is.
But it is. Like, rocket fuel is the best way of putting it. Really, it just, and especially when we're trying to do it to give back. You know, that's the, you know, am I wasting my time? You know, so that just kind of says, nope, it's worth it. So
it is.
But thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Thanks for writing the blog, because like I said, I still get inspired. And thanks for hanging out with us today. And when the books are ready, you definitely have to come back and we have to talk about it.
Well, could you do me a favor and be my accountability partner?
Absolutely.
Let's set a date.
Let's do it.
Do we set it right now? Can we do it right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's millions of listeners. This is going to help.
Millions of listeners. From your lips to God's ears there.
So, I would like to come back and see you on this is a good one, on the 1st of March?
1st of March.
1st of March.
Okay, we'll mark it down.
Let's do that.
Yeah, and Kim, who is our communications director, actually helped a gentleman get a book published. So she's in there waving at us. So she knows the pain that you're going, you're going through as you're kind of going through the edits and stuff. So
I have some marketing ideas for it that I want to run by you guys. But essentially at the end of the day, the vehicle that I want to do is, because the plan is to make it available, of course, in print, but also as an audio book. But I want 100% of anything that anybody would ever pay for this particular thing to go to the Rotary Foundation.
Oh, wow.
that I'm a part of. So I've already begun soliciting kind of the sell the roof and build the house thing.
Right.
I've already started to solicit some people that are high up in the Rotary organization and say, look, here's my content. It's geared towards small business leaders, and I think Rotary should be the ambassador for leadership in the world. Would you help me with this platform to expose it? And every proceed will go to the Rotary Foundation. But I'll tell you all about that hatched and unhatched plan on March 1st.
Yeah, and I have one other commitment. We actually read books together, my staff. And so we are, every Friday, we get together and go over what our assignment was.
Nice.
There's one, you know, if somebody is very obvious that they did not read that week, they have to buy lunch. So, so yeah. But
I want to work here.
Yeah, not bad.
That's
huh?
Awesome. Yeah.
But we'll do your book as one of our readings. Oh. I can't wait. So
fired up. Now I got a deadline.
Now you got a deadline, March 1st. So we'll hold you to it.
I still cannot hold my own feet to the fire as much, right? But that deadline, public deadline.
That's it,
right? Cialdini knows. I mean, it's you gotta create that pressure.
Yep, and all of our millions of listeners will kind of keep you honest too.
I hope so. I need it.
Well, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for everything that you're doing in our industry and also through your writings.
Super fun. Thanks, Joe.